This is Audible.
This is How to Get Lucky, written by Lauren Blakely and Joe Arden. Performed by Joe Arden, with appearances from
Erin Mallon as London in the group text messages,
Emma Wilder as Olive, and
Maxine Mitchell as Emery.
Prologue. I don't have to see something to believe it. Don't have to experience something to know I'd like it. I've never vacationed in Fiji, for instance, but I'm 100% confident I'd love every second in that tropical paradise. I don't need to have tossed out the ceremonial first pitch at Dodger Stadium to know that it would be an all-time highlight if I did. And there's one more thing. I don't need to have had great sex to know I'd love it. I'm confident I'd absolutely, completely fucking adore, worship, and revere it. But much like ziplining in Costa Rica or being front row at a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert, great sex is an incredible life event that I know exists. It's just one I've never experienced. Not that I haven't had sex at all. Far from it. I just haven't had that toe-curling, leg-shaking kind I've heard so much about. And I have heard about it because I listen. But all that listening hasn't translated into great sex. Yet. And that's not due to a lack of enthusiasm on my part. I'd happily enter a booty boot camp, take a coitus crash course or a lovemaking masterclass, and study until I've got this thing dialed in. But I haven't had the chance. Which is a head-scratching travesty, but it happens, okay? Like, if you get involved in a long-term relationship with a woman who's only into sex every other Saturday night, and who only wants missionary, and only with the lights off. That last rule of the bedroom with my ex was bumpy to navigate, because light is awesome, what with the way it illuminates the female form and all its curves, dips, and delicious valleys. Also, what the hell was up with the nighttime-only law? I'm sure I'd be super into afternoon delights. Morning bangs, too. My dick certainly seems interested in the AM. But, hey, I loved her, so I went along with the pencil-in sex-on-the-calendar approach. Twice a month was better than, God forbid, the Gobi Desert of once every 4 weeks. Or worse, the vast Arctic wasteland of once a year. My thoughts and prayers go out to all the dudes suffering from birthday-only boinking. But I know that sex shouldn't be on a schedule. Not unless the schedule is part of the foreplay, like sending dirty daytime texts to your partner about what you're going to do at 10 o'clock sharp when you're mad with desire after a full day spent apart. That kind of planning is hella sexy. And sex shouldn't be in the same position every time. It should be imaginative. It should be raw. And I'm pretty damn sure sex should be fun. You know what's not fun? Finding my girlfriend and the dog walker bringing new meaning to the phrase, doggy style. At least they weren't using a leash. Poor guy needed his exercise and all he was doing was chasing his tail while the ex was giving hers away. They say good guys finish last, but I don't believe that. When a good guy finds the right woman, they can both finish. Together. A lot. So, here I am, 28, single AF, and ready to find that right woman. One who will practice with me until perfect, and then practice some more. Every position, kink, and dirty deed. My luck is due for a change. And when a sexy, sweet, sarcastic brunette walks into my life, it feels like I'm holding the winning lottery ticket, and all I can think is yes, 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 it's about fucking time. Then I find out who she is. And yeah, she is sexy, sweet, and sarcastic, but she is also 100% forbidden. Which means I'm back to square one. Until the night she issues me a challenge, I can't refuse. Chapter 1. The bass pulses through the dressing room. The fluorescent lights flicker overhead as a water bottle next to the mirror vibrates in time with the sound of JT promising to bring sexy back. It's a reminder that in about 120 seconds, my ass needs to be back in the booth. If only Stanley could make up his mind. Heaving a sigh, he scratches his chin. I don't know. Am I feeling hot for teacher tonight or school's out for summer? Indecision, thy name is Stanley the Entertainer. Not his stage name. Can't go wrong with hot for teacher, I say. He picks that tune 66% of the time. I've done the math. He tilts his head back and forth like he's deeply torn. And he is. But T-Man, I also dig the Alice Cooper tune. Here's a backstage secret from Edge. The long-haired, super-jacked, inked and bearded dancer is a mild-mannered, soft-spoken marshmallow who cannot pick his songs. Want me to pick for you? I ask, keeping my voice nice and calm. His face lights up, like I've given him free pizza for life. Dude, would you? That'd be so chill. Yeah. I pick every time he can't choose. No problem, man. Stanley draws a couple of deep breaths, psyching himself up before he hits the stage here as Professor Bulge. As I like to say sometimes when I intro him, his PhD stands for Pleasing Her Deeply, and he graduated Come Louder. He checks the buttons on his breakaway khakis as Sam bursts through the doors.
Whoa, gentlemen, it is hot out there tonight. Brittany is turning 40 and Mama is frisky.
He grabs a towel and wipes the sweat and oil off his chest. Sam is exactly the kind of guy you'd expect to be one of the stars every weekend at Edge. His 6-foot-2-inch frame and box-cutter abs scream male entertainer so loudly he's actually on the billboard for the club's all-male review. Which is a damn good thing, since that billboard draws the crowds. We're talking about a packed joint every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. When Edge operates as a traditional dance spot the other nights of the week, I do fine. But the review gets booked months in advance. And since I earn an hourly wage and share the tips, I'm all for the signs that display the washboards to bring in the crowds. How frisky? I ask, hoping it's a good night. Are we talking raining ones or a downpour of 20s? Sam scoffs. Carlos is still out there picking up his greenbacks, but it was like a tropical sun shower for me, bro. I love when the weather brings in the good stuff. That's typical, Sam. Confident, but chill. When everything with Tracy and me fell apart a year ago, Sam was there for me. There for late-night burrito runs, Van Damme movie marathons, and a place to live till I found my own unit in the same building. Plus, he snagged me a gig spinning tunes here at Edge, and hell, did I ever need the job. What up, Teach? He booms to Stanley, bear-hugging him.
Hey, buddy, watch the shirt.
The burly man smooths the front of his Argyle cardigan.
I just had this ironed,
Stanley says in mock frustration. Sam puts his hands on his thighs and purses his lips.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Professor. Do you need to see me after class?
He chirps in a terrible imitation of a sexy co-ed's voice. I think we both need to see you put some pants on, I say. Sam glances down at his yellow spandex boxer briefs, which don't leave much to the imagination. But that's the point.
What's the big deal, dude? I wear the same thing around the building, too.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the HOA doesn't list banana hammock as appropriate attire for communal spaces. Sam claps me on the shoulder.
Mrs. Morales never complains. You're just uptight because you haven't been laid in a year.
Gee, I hadn't thought of that.
Wait, Stanley chimes in. How about we get Teddy a date? I can set up a dating profile for our favorite DJ. I love doing those.
Not necessary. I say, even though, my God, either of those would be fucking fantastic. A date or sex, that is, not a dating profile. I tap my wrist to indicate the time. On that note, I grab Bulge's glasses from between the hair gel and coconut oil on the dressing room counter and toss them to Stanley. Don't forget the specs. He breathes another long sigh of relief.
Songs, glasses, what would I do without you, DJ Insomnia?
It's a mystery to me, too. I head back to the booth, my voice echoing over the loudspeakers as I turn on the mic while Carlos leaves the stage.
And now, ladies and yes, I see some gents, too,
It's time to put your books away and sharpen those pencils because school is in session. Our next performer earned a bachelor's degree in being a bachelor and a master's in being your master. Give it up for Professor Bulge. And with that, Stanley pushes through the double doors, strobe light and fog hiding his face, and makes his way to the guest of honor as she hoots and hollers from a chair on stage. The dancer locks his hands on the back of Birthday Brittany's chair and rides her leg like he's breaking in a prized colt. Which is the point of his job, to make Brittany feel like the only woman in the room. And he's damn good at it. Even from my vantage point above the floor, Brittany looks as happy as I am when I find a fresh new record. Nearby, her friends cheer like they have megaphones. One of the many things I love about the women who enter Edge is how, while they don't object to the beefcake, they're so clearly here for the camaraderie with their friends. I don't see many sad solo women nursing drinks in corners here. And I do a lot of observing. Occupational hazard, you might say, but I think of it as a benefit. I have the time to people watch, and it's become a favorite pastime of mine, studying human behavior. And few places are better than the fishbowl of a club. A place where, technically, I could meet plenty of women to ask out on dates. But I haven't. Because work is work. And because dating these days is scarier than clowns, dentists, and clown dentists. As Bulge finishes his dance, he moves around the stage, ripping off his pants and unbuttoning his elbow-patched cardigan. The bills come out. Ladies stuff tens in his spandex briefs or tastefully throw fives on the stage. Over by the bar, a couple of guys do too, laughing happily as they tuck in some greenbacks. Once Bulge has received his extra credit, one dude smacks a kiss on the other, then they catch the gaze of the woman with them who flashes the biggest smile their way. A bright, gorgeous grin that lights up her face, followed by an eye roll that is somehow both adorable and feisty. And now, I'm definitely glad that checking out the guests is in the job description because, holy shit, I'm not sure I can look away. She's like a sexy librarian with her hair piled on her head in a messy bun and adorable red glasses sliding down her nose. Her chestnut curls dance playfully off her cheeks, which have just the slightest hint of red in them, like she's turned on or embarrassed, or both, or neither. Now I wish my only job were to keep my eyes on the patrons, because I could stare at her all night. But the last notes of Van Halen's Hot for Teacher are playing, and that means I'm up. As the music fades, my voice booms over the PA system. Professor Bulge has to grade some papers right now, but you'll find him on the side stage in a little while. Right now, I have a very special treat for you. His business is taking care of your business. He's the CAO of the most successful company in LA. It's our chief arousal officer, Mr. Jerkins. The lights shift, I fade to the next track, and Sam, now in his Mr. Jerkins attire, saunters onto the stage in his tailored suit while Bulge tosses out some detention slips on his way backstage. Once Mr. Jerkins hits the lights, I take up the cause again, my eyes hunting for the sexy librarian, but she's nowhere to be seen. My shoulders sag. I sigh, run my hand through my hair, and shrug. But what can you do? It's not like I was going to jump over the edge of the DJ booth, sidle up, and ask for her number. I want to keep my job, and hitting on patrons is numero uno on the do-not-do list at Edge. It's a short list. House rules are hands off the guests, the staff, the money. Easy as 1, 2, 3, like the Jackson 5 song. As the night winds down, I program the next few tracks to play and head to the bar for a refill. Water, of course. Seltzer, actually, since I do love my bubbles. And I'm not alone. The brunette thanks the bartender and reaches for what looks like a Diet Coke, her friends nowhere to be seen. As I'm walking to the counter, Aerosmith's Crazy hits the chorus and she spins in her stool, playing air guitar like she's auditioning for the band. Her gaze swings to mine and I'm instantly lost in the most arresting brown eyes I've ever seen. They're like brandy, She doesn't miss a beat, just flashes me a smile and keeps jamming. I don't know what comes over me. Nothing, everything, but without thinking, I tell her, "You're an air guitar C, but you want to be an air guitar E for this part?" Her hands freeze. "Perish the thought of playing in the wrong key," she says, all dry and deadpan. I'm about to reply when Jake slides my seltzer across the bar. "Here you go, DJ Insomnia." I whiplash back into the moment. Work. I'm at work. And that's my cue to go back to fucking work. Good thing, too. Because as much as I want to grab a stool and chat her up, this dude abides by the do-not-do list. I've got plans. So many damn plans. And they all start and end with not repeating the mistakes of the past. So, with that firmly in mind, I head back to my perch to finish out this Saturday night. Nighttime is my favorite. It's the vibe I know. The vibe I love. The club always feels a little off when the lights go up, the sounds go down, and the artifice is exposed. It also means it's time to go. I turn off the amp, mixer, and computer, then slide my iPhone into my pocket and rap twice on the door to the DJ booth for good luck. On my way out of the club, I stop by the manager's office since it's always wise to be on good terms with the guy who signs your paychecks. Something that wasn't always the case at my last gig. Plus, Archer is a cool cat, even if he likes Coldplay. I can forgive him for that sin, since the rest of his musical taste is top-notch. When I pop in, he's rocking out to My Chemical Romance, spreadsheets open on his laptop. I point at the computer speakers. An excellent choice. I saw them at the Palladium a few years ago. Sick show. Love these guys. And glad to have the DJ's approval, he says, leaning back in his chair in that casual manner of his. Happy to give it. I'm out of here, but I'll see you in a few days. We've got that double bachelorette party on Thursday, right? We do. Bring your A game. Should be a wild one. I smile. You'll only get the best. I have some great new tunes and mixes lined up. I'm pretty sure the hot dancers are the main reason those ladies are coming, but hey, everything is better with a good soundtrack. Great, Teddy. Always love hearing the stuff you find. Oh, also, Archer continues, shifting gears. Your 1 year with the company is coming up next month. It's been that long already? This job has been the best part of a year that started out as a dumpster fire. Sounds like a nice time for a raise, he says, lifting his brows, leading the horse to water. And oh yes, I will drink that. Not going to turn down some extra cash. I am a big fan of raises, I say with a smile. I'm tempted to add sir in an eager-to-please way, but Archer would roll his eyes, and rightfully so. I thank him and head out of the club, amped up by the possibility of not just a raise, but of doing everything differently this time around. Chapter 2. When most people envision life in Los Angeles, they think of beaches, celebs, and crazy good food. And they're not wrong. All those things rock. But for me, one of the best parts of living in Los Angeles is the 24-hour Target. Do I frequently find myself walking its aisles at 3 in the morning? No. But when I do need to hit it after my shift ends, all hours access to Target is awesome. Plus, I'm amped up tonight. I can't stop thinking about the brown-eyed beauty who seemed interested and not interested at the same damn time. I turn that over in my head as I park my Prius in between two other Priuses. Or is it Prii? Whatever it is, there are a lot of them in L.A. Will I see her again? Seems doubtful. Best to put her out of my mind. And since it's pushing 1 a.m., I make a detour for treats and toys on the way home. Not for myself, but for my 50-pound rescue pit bull, David Bowie. I love that gray and white ball of muscle. He's the only thing I salvaged after my breakup with Tracy. The only thing that mattered to me. Bowie happens to be a dog toy aficionado, so I make my way to the best aisle in the store and load up my red basket with braided rawhides, salmon chews, and a squeaky duck. Bowie mans the home front while I'm putting on the show, so now and then he gets a reward for his security work. He's excited to see me either way, but I'm sure the treats help. Hell, I like treats. I wouldn't object to someone bringing home treats for me. I grab some of the store's special home-baked toy biscuits, then I throw a furry hedgehog toy into the basket because it is a truth universally acknowledged that all pooches in possession of a good hedgie must be in want of nothing. Props to Jane Austen for an epic first line in Pride and Prejudice, a line which can be applied to pretty much anything. I buy the toys, head home, and give my boy a hello. Or really, he greets me with a goofy smile and a face lick. After I take him outside, I toss him his new stuffed playmate, hit the sack, and put the air guitarist out of my mind. It's not as if I'm going to see her again. And if she did come back to the review, well, that might mean I'm not her type, since, you know, I'm not a stripper. And strippers are generally the reason people frequent the club every weekend when the guys are in all their, as Sam likes to say, abolitious glory. I do have good abs, though. I blame L.A. for that. Or really, I thank L.A. for that. And as I hit the hay, I don't think of Miss Air Guitar for one second. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Women only mean distraction. And I sure as hell don't need that in my life right now. Ever listen to a song you've never heard before on the radio and then go home and hear that same song on a TV show or a commercial? I have a theory about that. It's not that everyone in the entertainment industry is listening to the same five songs, though a lot of them are. The theory is about synchronicity. It's happening all the time, all over the world. Meaningful coincidences. We might not always be aware of it. But I bet we're walking past the same people every day at the farmer's market, the park, the coffee shop. We don't always notice them, though. Unless, like that song on the radio, that person is already on our mind. I'm already thinking about her. I want to be looking for her. Evidently, I'm looking. And evidently, I'm a lucky fucking guy. Because my theory proves out Sunday afternoon when I unleash Bowie and open the gate to the Silver Lake Dog Park. In the corner, under the shade of a tree, a woman with red glasses chucks a tennis ball at a Chihuahua mix who takes after it like his feet have wings. Hello, synchronicity, and thank you very much. The air guitarist wears a vintage Beverly Hills 90210 t-shirt that says Senioritis above a shot of the cast. Another coincidence, I just started streaming that show. What are the odds I'd see her again so soon? Not only that, but she's obviously a fellow dog lover. This is the universe making everything easy. She's not a patron of the club right now. This is neutral territory, ergo, it's time for my pooch to earn his treats. I look down to enlist my furry wingman to help snag an introduction, but Bowie spots a pair of playful huskies and abandons me. Can't say I blame him. My dude loves the chase. Looks like I'm on my own. I casually make my way up the dirt hill toward the wavy-haired brunette I haven't stopped thinking about since last night. She's even prettier in the sunlight. My step turns a little hesitant as I get closer. It's been a while since I've approached a woman. In the club, my confidence is sky high. But I'm in my element there. Safe behind the DJ booth, perched aloft, looking down on the action. Here, I'm just a guy who hasn't been on a date in almost a year. But that won't change unless I get back out there. And I'd never forgive myself if I let this opportunity slip by. Before I can second-guess myself anymore, I'm sharing her shade and making eye contact. I gesture to the 90s throwback tee she's wearing. This may be an unpopular opinion, but I always thought Andrea was the cutest one on that show. She smiles back before reaching down to pick up the tennis ball, a hint of recognition in her eyes, like she's trying to place me. You're not just a fan of the crew, but of the girl who never gets picked first? I hold up a hand as if I'm taking an oath. I am all that. Though technically I'm a new fan, I've only streamed a couple episodes, but I definitely dig the whole glasses and curls vibe she has going on, I say, and the brunette gives me a keep-going nod. Plus, the show did have an epic soundtrack, before that became the thing for TV shows. So, my shirt is retro, but the show was way ahead of its time. Yay me, she says with a playful glint in her eyes. I grin. Hard to go wrong with R.E.M., Elvis Costello, and Chris Isaak. She plucks at the fabric and smiles. That was the slogan on the other shirt I was going to get. Darn, should have snagged that one. I'd wear that shirt too. She laughs, and I want to pump a fist. Then she screws up the corner of her lips, studying me. I saw you at the club last night, didn't I? You were the DJ and erstwhile air guitar expert. Yes, pretty sure her remembering me falls under the heading of keep going. So I do. That's what it says on my business card. Both those things, actually. I enjoyed your emceeing. I try to rein in a grin. Compliments from cute women are the best thing ever. I was up there doing my best Michael Buffer impersonation. Her brow knits in confusion. Who's Michael Buffer? You don't know Michael Buffer? Like, from boxing? Or MMA? How could she not know who he is? Not a huge fan of watching men beat the crap out of each other. That's understandable. He's a fight announcer. That's literally all he does. Just announces the start and end of a fight. And he's super famous and super rich for just that. You know, let's get ready to rumble? I say the catchphrase, but don't perform it. She, on the other hand, dives right in. Oh yeah, let's get ready. I cut her off, bringing my finger to my lips. No, wait, stop. You better not say it out loud. He might hear you. She scans the park, left and right, and drops her voice. Oh, what? Is he like Candyman or something? Is he going to come through a mirror and get me? It's possible. You can't be too safe. Thank you so much for the warning. But it's kind of hard not to say, don't you think? True, I concede. It's like, I'll be back, or...
No, I am your father,
I say, imitating Arnold and James Earl Jones in turn. She laughs. Those weren't bad. So come on, let me hear your Michael Buffer. I'm pretty sure I'd do anything she asked me to, and I'm adhering to the keep going rule I just enacted. I'll do it for you, but if he hears me and sues for trademark infringement, you're paying the fine. Consider it paid. Now proceed. She crosses her arms and gives me a playful, I'm waiting look. I take a deep breath when my blue-nosed bruiser crashes into my knee. I steady myself, since now is not the time to fall. Then I mix it up, meeting the brunette's eyes as I imitate the announcer, saying to my pooch, Someone is ready to rumble! My audience of one gives an approving nod, dips a hand in her back pocket, then pretends to fish out some money from her wallet. For your fine. Much appreciated. I mime taking it from her and tucking it into my own pocket before I bend down to give my boy some scratches on the chin. Hey, big guy. How you doing? He pants, then hops over to the teacup dog, gently nuzzles his ear, and flops down on his back. The little dog takes his turn and boxes my guy's ears. The 90210 fan joins in with the pack moment, stroking Bowie on the chin, and if I didn't have a crush on her already, I would now. Women who love dogs are my kryptonite. And who is this adorable fellow? This is David Bowie. He's super friendly. Got him from the North Central shelter about 6 years ago. The second he looked up at me with that little streak of white between his eyes and that goofy grin, I was a goner. Her fingers graze mine as we pet him, and yep, Bowie is getting all the treats in the world tonight. I take back everything I said about his wingman skills. He's showing them all and then some right now. I'd be a goner too. He's a doll of a dog, and I love rescue mutts. Bowie takes off, glancing behind him like he's daring the other guy to follow, and the little dog flies. We stand, and her gaze follows the dogs as they race in circles around the park. Her expression saying she's getting a kick out of them getting along. Love the name. Are you a Stardust fan? Yeah, I've been trying to get him to answer to Ziggy, but so far no dice. You should try Rebel Rebel. Not a bad idea. I test it out to no avail and shrug. Worth a shot. So, who's the little guy running with the big dogs? That's Mr. Darcy. We come here every Saturday morning and Sunday afternoon. Sometimes he goes to the small dog side of the park, but even though he's 7 pounds, he's convinced he's a German Shepherd. Hence, he insists on the big dog side. The man knows his mind. Good for him. Honestly, most tiny dogs bark at Bowie like they've got something to prove, but your little guy has some serious swagger. Of course, when you oversee the entirety of the Pemberley estate, you have to have some confidence. She sizes me up as I drop a not-so-subtle Austin reference on her. She seems impressed. Hell, I'm impressed. Go me. Pride and Prejudice fan? I try for a twofer, name-dropping from Persuasion, too. Honestly, I'm more of a Captain Wentworth guy myself, but Darcy's doing his thing. She parks a hand on her hip. Doing his thing? Fitzwilliam has the money, the attitude, the looks, and the charm. But Wentworth is a man's man, fought for his country, made his own fortune, and even after Anne spurned his advances, he knew his heart and put himself out there for her again. That takes guts. What did Darcy have to lose? Nothing. I keep going. He had his whole life played it up for him, and sure, he's technically hot, but in that trust fund baby with plenty of time to work out kind of way. But, hey, you obviously dig him because you named your cute pooch after him, and he wears it well, so I get it. She stares at me bug-eyed, which is still a good look on her. Yes, Mr. Darcy is definitely doing his thing, too, and I like it. Also, you've thought this through, the whole Darcy-Wentworth debate, she says, but she's not annoyed, more amused. What can I say? It's an important topic. Definitely. I like a man who's passionate, especially about books. A smile curves her lips, and all I want to do is keep talking to her. Now is probably a great time to tell you I majored in literature, and my dad teaches high school English. She hums, tapping her chin as Mr. Darcy runs two circles around her legs, then darts off again. Now I'm curious. How does a lit major find himself DJing at an all-male review? Do you mean, did I dream about playing Pour Some Sugar on Me for my half-naked buds when I was in fourth grade? That's the path to DJ-hood, right? Queuing up stripper songs as a grade schooler? I bring my hand to my heart and sigh exaggeratedly. Exactly. But while I could talk about my passion all day, I don't want to come on too strong. So I focus on the question she asked. Why am I at Edge? I started DJing parties in college, and I was able to turn it into a job when I graduated. I check out Bowie's whereabouts, near the water fountain, scampering with Mr. Darcy, before getting to the still raw bit. Then last year, when I needed a new gig, my best friend hooked me up. He works there too, which is dope. You'd think a straight guy might not be into spending his nights with a room full of oiled-up men, but honestly, everyone is super fun to be around. More importantly, what brought you and those two dudes there last night? Those guys are my roommates, Nate and Eli. Though technically they're my landlords, since I rent a little studio, like a mother-in-law pad, off their house. They're insanely fun, but also disgustingly in love, and sometimes I feel like the third wheel. You always have your solo career as an air guitarist to fall back on if that friendship band breaks up. She rolls her eyes. Shut up. Very funny. What? I'm serious. You had some real moves. You do know there are air guitar competitions. I've DJed some. We could get you into one. That's what I've always wanted, to show off my skills with imaginary instruments, she says as Mr. Darcy arrives to drop off the tennis ball. No time like the present to build your burgeoning air guitar career. I'm trying to do the same thing with a DJ business I just started. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, and corporate events. Los Angeles is the place to be for that. This city does have every form of entertainment under the sun, she says as she reaches to pick up the ball that Mr. Darcy brought over, and I can't help myself. I steal a quick glance at her shapely legs and round ass, painted into that pair of jeans. She is fine. How long have you lived in L.A.? My whole life. She shoots me a skeptical stare as she tosses the ball for her eager pup. No way. No one is from Los Angeles. Do you, like, get a tattoo or something when you're born here? I flash briefly to the Celtic Trinity knot ink on my left forearm, covered by my long-sleeve shirt. But this moment calls for levity, so I go a different route. You do, I say in mock seriousness as the Chihuahua mix takes off in a blur. Mine says, sun's out, buns out. I can't show it to you now, though. Her eyes glint in a way that says she'd like to see it another time, and I beam inside. This is working. With a naughty little smile, she asks, but another time? You'll show it to me another time? I shrug, the kind that says, yes, of fucking course. I could probably be convinced. She taps her temple. Duly noted. I'll try to think of how to be convincing, Mr. Native Angelino. Now, if you've been here your whole life, you must love... I jump in to finish her sentence. I know where this is going, same place it usually goes. Surfing and skateboarding? She hesitates, like maybe I caught her. Tacos. I was going to say tacos, obviously. You must love tacos. To quote the great Ms. Austin, happiness in marriage is entirely a matter of tacos. And I believe that's a direct quote, too. It should be. Actually, I love all Mexican food. If I could only eat one kind of cuisine for the rest of my life, it'd be Mexican. What about you? Ice cream, of course. What could beat a dessert that encompasses all four food groups? Don't get me wrong, I love a cone, but how does ice cream cover all the food groups? Simple science. Strawberry counts as fruit, mint is clearly a veggie because mints are leaves, bacon ice cream covers protein, and every single scoop is dairy. So there. You win that debate. Laugh as much as you choose, but you will not laugh me out of my opinion. She fires back at me, and I can tell she's quoting something. My brain cycles quickly through options since the words feel familiar and I want to get it right. Is that Emma? Nice try. Pride and Prejudice, she says, her eyes sparkling like she's having fun with this moment and with me. I was trying to see how sharp you are. The fact that you even know the existence of Emma is pretty impressive. I blow on my fingernails casually. Honestly, though, if it comes right down to it and we are truly picking one non-ice cream option, like a cuisine forever and ever and into time immortal, I'd have to go with Japanese, she adds. I'm prepared to marry sushi. And there it is, the universe dropping a golden opportunity in my lap. I clear my throat and take a deep, fueling breath. The game is on. I know a great little sushi spot right on the water in Santa Monica. Have you ever been to Yoshi? I'd love to take you. And, whoa, did I just ask her out? Yes. Yes, I did. She pauses, and when she glances at her shoes, I can see her hesitation. She's taking too long to answer. My stomach plummets. Finally, she looks up, and her brown eyes sparkle. Something's going on in her head, and boy, do I ever want to know what.
That actually sounds great. I'd love to. Because I had this great idea, sort of like a project.
Dear God, please let it be a sex project. A man can dream. Sure, I'm game for projects, I say, trying to sound cool and casual.
Terrific, but I should probably get your name first. I'm London, like the city.
There's a hint of rasp in her voice that makes me hope even harder for a sex project. And a yes to the date, of course. I'm Teddy, like the bear. She arches one sexy brow. How the hell is an eyebrow sexy?
Or you could say, Teddy, like a lace cami.
It takes me a second to process her innuendo. One hot second. My throat is dry, my skin is sizzling, and my luck is about to change. That's what I meant to say. And I can't wait to hear about your proposition. The smile she flashes my way tells me proposition was exactly the right word.
Let's drop off our dogs and I'll meet you at Yoshi tonight at 8.
I'm there.
And I'll tell you all about what I've been thinking.
She says with a smile that makes me think, yes, I am about to score on all fronts. A great date with a cool babe, and then maybe a little something more. Or a lot something more. Yep. An urgent need to see me tonight, a lingerie innuendo, and a bit of nervous hesitation when I first asked for the date. Sex has to be the project. And she's come to the right guy.
Chapter 3. That evening. From the Woman Power Trio, aka the text messages of London and her two besties, Olive and Emery. London. Stop the presses. I have a date tonight.
Emery. Listening to a podcast while you ignore our texts is not a date, even if you do it with a glass of wine.
Olive. Is this the lit one where you geek out to Bronte and Austin deets? Wait, no, must be that science one where you pretend you're going to date the hottie host. I didn't realize how serious it was, but I suppose when you've listened to every episode...
With a guy! And I do not ignore you two. Though, fine, the Science of Everyday Things podcast guy does have a hella sexy voice.
Like my favorite audiobook narrator.
We are not discussing your narrator crush right now.
Yeah, Olive, way to be an attention hog. We are discussing London's supposedly real date.
Yes, tell us everything. Does he meet the four basic requirements? Straight, college-educated, gainfully employed, and doesn't live at home with his parents? Wait, amend that. It's hard to live on your own in L.A. Let's say, doesn't expect his mom to do his laundry.
Pretty sure he's ticking all of the above boxes. As in, he has his own place. I bet he does his own laundry, too.
Lissai, he's not real, then.
I know, he's so not real. Take a pic. Prove it.
I'm not taking a pic of my date, but I will say we had mega spark.
Spark is good.
Spark is necessary.
Spark is what I didn't have for so long, and this guy is all spark. He's scrumptious, with hazel eyes and sandy brown hair, all sun-kissed and golden, and a stubbled jawline. He's edible and funny and clever, and he loves dogs!
Yep. Imaginary.
So imaginary. But tell us where you're going, just in case we need to save you. Or spy on you.
Yoshi, in Santa Monica.
On the beach. Nice.
If you spy, don't be creepy.
Roll's eyes. Don't be silly. We only spy creepily.
By the way, we want a full report tomorrow.
Unless you're banging him. Then give us the report post-banging.
There will be no banging tonight, but I'm not opposed to other things, even though I have a project for him.
I bet you do.
I swear, it's a work thing.
Wink, wink. Have fun with your work thing.
Chapter 4 London is a choreographer. She spent 3 years in Vegas. She's been back in Los Angeles for 2 weeks, all of which I've learned in the first 30 minutes of our date, since I like listening to her and I want to get to know her. Also, synchronicity has to be in play again, because her being a professional choreographer totally works for me. After all, what's a DJ without some dancing? After the waiter brings appetizers and drinks to our table on the patio, we pick up the banter as if we never hit pause when we left the dog park. I take another pull of my beer and reach for a warm, salted edamame while the ocean breeze brushes my shoulders and the surf crashes in the distance. I'm always curious about places like Vegas, spots where people vacation and visit. What's it like working and living there? I liked it for the most part, but Vegas is also... She doesn't complete the thought immediately, just pauses with an edamame mid-air, then finishes... complicated. Still not sure if Sin City and I are done, but we definitely needed a break. Sounds like there's more to that story, but I don't want to press yet, so I file away the complicated for a later conversation as she eats the edamame. I've only been to Vegas twice, and I can definitely say that a weekend always feels like the right amount of time for a visit. Do you like downtown or the Strip? My first trip was for a friend's bachelor party, and we stayed at Aria, but the last time Sam and some other guys and I stayed down on Fremont, and that was definitely more my scene. Kinda divey, kinda dirty, but in a good way, and lots of fun clubs and bars with great music. Always a plus, Mr. Music. My work was on the Strip, so that's where I spent most of my time, but whenever I had a night off, downtown was where I'd be. You've got me thinking about traveling now, though. Love a good road trip. We should totally make that happen. California is the best road trip state. The second that sentence is out of my mouth, it feels like I might be coming on too strong. But at the same time, I could see myself taking a road trip with her, spending a long weekend in San Francisco, maybe. I can picture it, and I like what I see.
I could be into that, she says, pulling me from my thoughts and putting another huge smile on my face.
But we haven't even made it to green tea ice cream yet, so I try to pump the mental brakes. I focus on getting the conversation back on her. Did you always want to choreograph? She adjusts her red glasses.
At first, I wanted to be a scientist.
I hold up a hand. Wait, scientist?
Geek here, she says, patting her sternum. I was a full-on science nerd as a kid. Beakers, make-your-own-volcano kits, periodic table coloring book, the whole nine yards.
Naturally, you went from microscopes to dance.
Of course. It's a normal segue for a grade schooler, she deadpans. I still love science, and I'm addicted to the science of everyday things.
That podcast? I've heard it's good. Been meaning to check it out. Her eyes light up with delight.
You have to. It's so good. The episode on how credit card readers work was kind of mind-blowing.
I tap my temple. Mental note made. But as much as I love science, I loved dance a little more growing up. When I discovered it, I ditched my lab coats for leotards. I wanted to dance professionally. I trained my whole life doing modern. But I had this great dance mentor at Montclair in Jersey. You know the type. One of those people who can kind of see into your soul.
I picture one of my music teachers from college. I definitely know the type. They're awesome, but terrifying.
Yes, that's exactly what Professor Kambara was like, London says, her brown eyes sparkling. She saw something in me, and I think it was that I was in my head a lot. I was always critical of my own work and my routines. She pulled me aside and asked if I wanted to co-direct the spring production, because it turns out my analytical approach was actually ideal for choreography. Funny thing, though. At first, I turned her down.
Why? I ask, drawn into this story, drawn into her. Because when you talk about it, you kind of light up.
She dips her face as her lips curve into a grin, maybe a touch embarrassed, but thoroughly adorable.
Thank you. I said no then because I was 19 and insecure. I figured Professor Kambara didn't think I could hack it as a dancer and was trying to push me away from my passion. I had one lonely night in my dorm with a pint of Cherry Garcia, then Nate knocked on the door.
Nate as in Nate and Eli?
Her grin grows wider.
Yes, good memory.
I give myself a virtual pat on the back.
He insisted on sharing the pint and listening to why I was in a funk. I did both, then he said something wise and pithy like, you're an asshole if you don't take chances.
Yes, that is wise and pithy. Also true.
She shrugs happily.
I took a chance, gave it a try. And it was life, she says, drawing out the last word, clearly enjoying the memory.
I love basically everything about that story, except for one tiny detail. I hold up my thumb and forefinger to show a sliver of space.
What's that?
The food choice. I prefer to do my deep thinking with a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
She gives a playfully stern shake of her head.
I have to disagree. Nothing beats B&J's.
I can't help myself. That's true. Everyone loves good BJ's. I know I do.
A laugh bursts from her as she quirks one eyebrow. That damn sexy one again. Though in all fairness, both are sexy. All of her is sexy.
Do you now? How much do you love them?
I can't answer right away because I'm pretty much on fire from those words on her pretty lips. More than I love Prince's Purple Rain.
The song or the movie?
Both.
High praise.
It comes out flirty, borderline dirty. It takes everything in my power not to jump across this table and cover her mouth with mine. This woman is hot and clever and easy to talk to. Plus, she gives such good flirt.
I take a sip of my Asahi to cool down and return to her story so she doesn't think I'm a sex-crazed maniac with a one-track mind.
So, you put your ego aside, took your friend's advice, and it worked out, I prompt.
Everything clicked. All of a sudden, my work had no physical limits. With choreography, the only ceiling is my imagination.
She picks up another edamame, pops it from the pod, then into her mouth, and when she finishes chewing, says,
But enough about me. I want to hear about you. I truly enjoyed your emceeing last night, she says, sketching air quotes. But especially your song picks, they were spot on. Then I learned you weren't a fourth grade DJ prodigy, and I was shocked.
Yes, it remains shocking to me as well. I shift to a more earnest tone. But honestly, I've had a similar experience with DJing.
I could never master an instrument the way I wanted, but I was cool with that because I love putting music together even more. Devouring it, experiencing it, sharing it. All genres, all eras. Which is why I love doing any kind of event. Corporate, weddings, what have you. I've done a few, but nothing serious. It's what I want to do under my own banner, with my own business. It's what I do, too, with a weekly radio show I have. Playing other people's music at the right time, in the right order, can be its own form of expression. That probably sounds corny, right? Or maybe not. Because the way she's locked onto me while I'm talking makes me feel like I'm the only guy in the room. Hell, the only guy in the world. And this date is nothing like the ones I went on with Tracy. London is nothing like my ex. Maybe, just maybe, my luck is changing. Hell, what are the chances the first woman I've asked out since my ex skewered me would be so fucking dope? I could never have imagined my Sunday night going this well. But hey, synchronicity. It's my turn. I'm going to enjoy this great date, and maybe soon it'll lead to all that great sex. She jumps in, answering my question. It does not sound corny. It sounds awesome. You know what else sounds awesome? I lean in, eager to hear. What's that? That yellow tail you were hyping earlier. And it looks like it is heading this way. Her eyes drift past my shoulder, and I follow her gaze to the sashimi, sushi, and rolls on a porcelain boat that a server carries toward us. He sets the tray down. We thank him. Then London and I both go straight for the wasabi to add to our soy sauce. Nice to see I'm not the only one here who likes it hot. You like sushi with your wasabi, I see, I say dryly as she drowns the fish and rice in the good green stuff. I like it hot, and I'm not afraid to admit it, she says, then leans to the right, rooting around in her little purple purse, fishing for something. She dangles her keys, and I grin like a fool. I have one too, I say, grabbing my key ring to show her the mini bottle of sriracha on it. She drops her voice. Is yours real, though? I laugh like that's the craziest thing I've heard. Yes, London, it's real. I add in a whisper. Wanna hit? Also, why are you asking if it's real when you have one too? Mine's purely decorative, she says, setting the keys back in her purse as I put mine in my pocket. I wiggle my fingers for her to fess up. You're going to need to explain the non-functional sriracha bottle, because why? Sriracha is better than almost any hot sauce anywhere. I couldn't agree more, but there are risks in life you take, like choreographing a new show, and risks in life you don't take, like the chance of sticky red goop spilling all over your purse. Sure, I get that, but I could argue lip balm, lipstick, mascara, those all go in purses too. They could also spill. Her mouth falls open. She shakes her head, whip fast. First, the risk of lipstick spillage is smaller than the risk of hot sauce spillage. Second, those are necessities and worth the risk. I could argue sriracha is a necessity, much like wasabi, I say casually, popping a piece of yellowtail into my mouth. Also, why do you have a decorative bottle? Is it to pledge allegiance to the Alliance of Sriracha Love? Obviously. Also, it's a good luck charm. My brother gave it to me for fun, and the day he did, I snagged the job in Vegas. I suspect it was talent that nabbed you the job, but I wholly support homages to the gods and goddesses of luck. Gods and goddesses. I like that inclusive spirit, Teddy. Her eyes lock with mine, and holy hell, the spark in them is doing things to me, as in all the things. Also, you get me, she says, still holding my gaze. You clearly get me. Oh, do I ever want to get her, in pretty much every way. Is this what it's like to feel instant attraction? Perfect chemistry? If it is, I am all in for both. Throughout the meal, we talk a little more about luck, then dive into all things nerd, from Star Wars to Adult Swim. As she plucks at pieces of tuna, snapper, and eel, I notice her chopsticks game is on point, and I can't help thinking of how good her nimble fingers might be at holding something else, much thicker than a chopstick. Obviously. I snag another piece of fish off the plate and take stock of this moment. I don't want to forget any of it. The cool beach breeze, the way her face dances in the candlelight on this patio, the one freckle under her right eye that I want to trace with my tongue. Note to self. Find my passport when I get home because I want to spend some time in London. An unexpectedly wet noise breaks my reverie. It's coming from a couple at a nearby table. London and I snap our gazes to them at the same time. Because, holy loudest lip-smacking ever. We're talking full-on face-suck. I lean closer and whisper, "Is it just me, or is he trying to hoover her whole face?" She cringes, but laughs too. "I hope we try a soft butterfly kiss first. That'd be my suggestion." And I like that suggestion. In principle. Not for them, though. For her and me. A few tables away from us, the man's hands slide to the back of the woman's neck and he tilts his head a bit, angling for more. He twists his tattooed hand in her long, straight dark hair, tugging on her locks. If he's not careful, he'll get them caught in his bracelets. Guy must think he's Johnny Depp. They show no sign of letting up. Should I let them know? Offer them a tip or something?
No, I kind of like to observe, she says, like it's a naughty confession.
And it's one that interests me very much. You like to observe strangers kissing? She shrugs with a smile.
Why not? If they're going to kiss in public, I'm going to exercise my right to observe. Ooh, look, he's going for a lizard kiss.
I steal a glance. My eyes pop. The guy's tongue is flicking snake-like into his date's mouth. But they don't seem to care. That seems a little animalistic for dinner. Personally, I'd have to recommend the earlobe kiss. Great starter kiss at a restaurant, sophisticated without being too over the top. London's eyes turn heated, like she's intrigued. Very intrigued.
That's your recommendation for kissing choreography?
Yes. It's not too PDA-y, but definitely could leave her wanting more. We both seem to have forgotten about the hipster couple and have locked firmly onto each other. At this moment, I've forgotten everything else in my life, too. My business plans, the raise, all that melts away, and I only feel this burning desire to connect with this woman. Honestly, emotionally, and physically. And right now, the physical is front and center in my mind. But of course, I'd welcome your opinion as a professional choreographer, I add.
Since you asked, I'd want to know, what exactly would that earlobe kiss feel like? I mean, if you had the chance to try it out on a date.
Her tone is soft, even more inviting than before.
Say, after sushi, on a dimly lit patio.
I move closer, my voice barely above a whisper. It would probably feel something like this. Chapter 5. I bring my face near hers, our cheeks grazing. Her breath catches as my lips make their way across her jaw. Gently, I kiss along the top of her ear, nuzzling my nose into her hair. I inhale her scent, like freshly peeled oranges, as I kiss delicately along the outside of her ear. I take the lobe into my mouth and suck gently as she exhales on a soft moan, letting me know she's into this as much as I am. I file that intel away, how she murmurs when I kiss her right there. Let's see if she likes this. I bury my nose in that perfect spot behind her ear where her hair meets her neck and give her a firm kiss and a soft bite. Not enough to leave a mark, but enough to let her know I want to leave one. I linger a second longer, cupping her face with my other hand, breathing with her. Her skin prickles, my heart races, and I lean back to take her in. Her eyes glimmer with the first sparks of lust. Her lips part the slightest bit. She looks blissed out. I feel the same. After another heady moment where the air between us is still charged, she takes a drink of water, pushing her glasses up on the bridge of her nose.
That's pretty good. I suspect if you did that on a date, the woman would find it very tasteful.
Good to know. Also, maybe she'd find it hot? I ask, going fishing. She nibbles on the corner of her lips, her cheeks flushing.
She would.
My pulse spikes, and yes, 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 my luck is all changing tonight. Hopefully that opportunity will present itself one day.
I hope so, too.
But before I can even entertain the idea of trying another kiss on her, our server returns to clear our plates. We order a green tea ice cream to split, and I hope that dessert never arrives, because I could sit here with her all night. She drums her fingers on the table, then draws a deep breath.
I wanted to tell you, Teddy, that I'm having a great time, but...
My stomach plummets like a weight, sinking me. Nothing good can follow but.
I hope this isn't too presumptuous, and I feel like I've been kind of forward with the flirting, and...
She stops, an apology crossing her warm brown eyes, and that look sinks me a little further.
And the kissing?
She stops again, flapping her hand in front of her face like she's waving away the awkward. I wish her success with that, because I want it gone too. I have no clue where she's going with this, except no place good.
Which I really liked,
she adds in a rush, and her tone sounds legit. She doesn't seem like she's dealing me a line, and it's not you, it's me, send off. Everything about her vibe feels real. I want to convince myself that's a good sign, but liked, as in past tense, isn't what I want with London. I don't want there to be anything past tense about our kissing, or any kind of tense. But...
And that's my worry,
she says, a little more professional, maybe. Distant, even?
Because I got ahead of myself, focusing just on the date part, which I completely want, and wanted. I'm having so much fun with you, and I think you're so great, but I also did want to talk to you about a project. And I don't want to forget in the midst of all that kissing.
That should make me feel better. But it doesn't. Right. The project. I say evenly. I don't want to let on that I'd hoped it would be a sex project. It's probably something miserable involving PowerPoints or spreadsheets or other shit I hate. Like maybe she wants me to make a spreadsheet of all her favorite music. I like London, and I'll do a lot for a woman I'm into, but I draw the line at spreadsheets. She smiles widely, going for the clothes.
See, I thought we could pair up, because I'm working for the club, too.
I flinch. What did she just say? You work for the club? Each word comes out occupying its own real estate. Because this is Roadrunner dropping the anvil and then painting the tunnel on the brick wall, and I just ran smack into it. She works for the club, and that means hands off. Hands all the way off. Because of the do not do list. It's a code that matters to me. It's one I want to abide by and honor.
Just on a contract basis, but yes.
Excitement trips through her tone, the same enthusiasm I heard when she first spoke about her professor, the sign that she loves what she does.
I'm going to be working on a new female dance show for Edge to start out on Wednesday nights. The partners that own the club have had so much success with the male review, they want to see if they can bring the same fun and energy with female dancers, but not in a review style. No stripping. Sort of like background dancing. Think more Cirque du Soleil than Spearmint Rhino, but still a little sexy.
She adds with heat in her eyes. This is all news to me. I'm surprised Archer hasn't mentioned it. Sounds interesting.
I have some ideas I'm so excited about, and you're great with music. I always like to make sure I've got the perfect music, and it's good to work with experts. And you seem to know just the right songs for the right moment. I have some epic moves planned and some super sexy numbers, and the whole thing is going to be fire.
Sure. Sounds great. I say, doing my best to stay enthused. Because, hey, this is good. It has to be good. The better the club does, the better I can do. Besides, working with London could be... fun. Challenging too, since I'd probably be turned on the entire fucking time, but sure,
Fun. Would you be willing to help me out? I can pay you, she says, her voice pitching up, maybe with nerves. I shake my head, dismissing that notion. I'm happy to help. I'm not going to take money from her, especially since she's an employee too. I need to help. I should help. The smile that lights her face almost makes my disappointment worthwhile. She looks gorgeous like this. Happy, animated,